CBS in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, and we're going to Brussels to visit with Teresa Fallon. Teresa is our guide for events in these last hours. She is the director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. The website is kriosbrussels.org. Teresa, I read from headlines in these last hours for the NATO meeting. This in New York, CNBC. NATO members unite to face evolving threats from Russia and China. And this in London from the BBC. NATO warns of military challenge posed by China. A lot of drum beating. And Teresa, did you expect this drum beating? Is this a predictable turn, or are these events rattling for European allies? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, there's been a big build up to all of this with the NATO 2030 plan. They're trying to figure out what the future will look like. And so this has been emphasized in the meetings with Biden in Washington, D.C., when Jen Stoltenberg came as well. And immediately saw the Chinese embassy come out and criticize this statement. The communique has been published. And also we see this kind of hardening position as well with the G7 that we saw over the weekend. So this is something Beijing is very concerned about.
And was it what's the metaphor? Was it telegraphed ahead of time, or is this a surprise to Beijing?
It was definitely telegraphed ahead of time. The language isn't as strong as some people would have liked. They describe China as a systemic challenge. Rather than adversary.
Gordon, your measure of this BBC headline in particular, NATO warns a military challenge posed by China. Is there anything that surprises you there, Gordon, or was this written long ago?
I think it was written long ago in part by Beijing, because China is actively working in Europe, often in conjunction with Russia. So this was going to happen at some point. And clearly what's occurred right now is you have the occurrence of the G7, the NATO ministerial, the meeting with Putin and Biden, and, of course, the Atlantic Charter with the United States and UK. So it happens at a time when everyone is thinking about these large powers acting in the Europe.
You have a question for Teresa, Gordon.
Teresa, you mentioned that a lot of people wanted stronger language. What do you think the appropriate language would have been?
Well, I think that because NATO is made up of 30 members, it was easier to get things through the G7. So within NATO, some are concerned about the Russia challenge because they don't want such a focus on China, fearful that maybe people will neglect the Russian challenge. So I think maybe the Balts and Central Eastern Europeans are much harder on the Russia challenge. But they also see, as you mentioned, the kind of coordination between China and Russia. And the NATO communique mentions that as well. So I think that China is moving closer to Europe through the Arctic, through military exercises with Russia in the Mediterranean and also in the Baltic. So we've seen a lot of coordination. And now we see nuclear cooperation as well. So this is a very important concern for Europeans.
NATO is, I believe the last time I counted, 27 members, but in any event, requires unanimity. Is there unanimity on this bellicose language, Teresa?
Well, it's 27 members of the EU and 30 of NATO, but this language, I think, is very carefully calibrated because everything has to be reached by consensus. And I think that it's a step in the, it's a positive step in the right direction. And I think that, we have a very difficult road ahead of us because for the past 30 years, many of the members of NATO have not been spending appropriately on their defense. So only 10 of the members of NATO actually meet the 2% agreed Warsaw commitment.
Gordon?
Teresa, you talked about nuclear cooperation between Moscow and Beijing. What are you referring to?
Well, there's growing concern about military cooperation and technological cooperation. So Russia and the U.S. at least have kind of cooperation on nuclear talks. China does not want to be part of that. So I think there is some, it will be interesting to see how the meeting goes with Biden and Putin in Geneva, because I think that's something that both the U.S. and Russia have in common. They would like to bring China to the negotiation table in regard to nuclear weapons, which China is very wary of entering any sort of negotiations on.
Teresa, we have the eve of the meeting between the two presidents in Geneva. What are the expectations in Brussels for this conversation? And I'll mention in specific, Ukraine, question mark, Syria, question mark. And then, of course, Belarus and the most recent incident, question mark. Are there high expectations, low expectations? Are people wandering around saying it's cynical of me, but I'm not expecting anything? How is it, Teresa?
I think the latter. I think most people aren't expecting very much. They think it's a good sign that Biden is meeting with Putin. But as we've seen a lot of saber rattling, someone was just killed yesterday during the so-called ceasefire with Ukraine. So I think that there are deep concerns about Russia, but we also have to think about the bigger geopolitical picture that the U.S. needs to talk to Russia and hopefully come up with some sort of modus vivendi, because the biggest threat right now to the U.S. is China. So will Russia and China stay together in this kind of frenemies relationship remains to be seen. But I think all eyes will be on Geneva, but there are very low expectations about the event.
Now, during the Cold War, the game, and I'm referring to Richard Nixon's time, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, the game was to separate Russia from China. And that worked particularly well in exiting the Vietnam War. I know that history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes. So is there any talk, any whispering, any backstairs negotiation between the U.S. and Russia to separate Moscow from Beijing and resolve Ukraine?
I think that Russia, it's not the Soviet Union. It's a much smaller country than the Soviet Union was. The size of their economy is about the size of Italy. It doesn't have the same type of heft on the international stage, but we do know that they can cause a lot of problems as in Ukraine or Syria, and there needs to be closer cooperation in areas like the Arctic where there might be frictions between China and Russia. So I think that having a good conversation with Putin and see how the U.S. and Russia ally or areas of future friction will be a good start to the Biden presidency. But I don't think it'll be easy going.
Gordon, I want to recover an anecdote. I hope Teresa forgives me for this, but she suddenly triggered it in my mind. Remember when Mao was invited to Moscow by Stalin and Stalin ignored him for some time, kept him in a dacha or something, and Mao was frozen out and belittled? Do you think that's still in China's mind, Gordon, all these decades later?
Well, I'm sure they still remember that because they are wary of Moscow. And they certainly, I think, in the propaganda recently, they are, I think, concerned that Biden will make some headway with Putin, even though I think that that's unlikely. There's a lot of propaganda releases in Beijing right now saying it will never happen, which means that Beijing is a little bit concerned that it might actually occur.
You have a question for Teresa, Gordon.
Teresa, in the run-up to the Biden-Putin meeting, Biden waived sanctions on Nord Stream 2, the pipeline sending gas to Germany. I don't know if Biden got anything in return for that. Do you know, and do you know why Biden would do that at that particular time?
We have about a minute, Teresa. Go ahead.
Okay, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline decision was a disappointment to several countries in Central and Eastern Europe. Perhaps it was better to leave the Germans to make that decision. There will be other ways maybe to sanction it after the fact, but I think now he needs to get German cooperation on several issues. We've seen, at least at the G7, there was cooperation with Germany on China, which was very, very important.
Teresa Fallon, Director of the Center for Russia, Europe, Asia Studies in Brussels. The website is creasbrussels.org. creasbrussels.org. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Institute, Newsweek, and The Hill. The expectations in Europe are very low for the road ahead. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.